No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where our coffee's so good, it will tickle your pubic hair. What the fuck?
How dare you?
Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 13, given on this day, 13 May 2019. Another happy accident, by the way. Bullshit. Got it. I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, reading your emails and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because, as always, you make this show great. So, since last episode, I went back through my archived reports, and ones that I've been meaning to talk about on the show, but for some reason I neglected to because something else caught my attention. I was having an ooh shiny moment, I guess, and I just felt it more imperative to speak about those. Therefore, I think it important to delve into something of some of what was, and after today it will be no more. So, but I may have spoken about some of these articles on previous shows, but as I go through them, I will probably delete them. Well, more than likely, I will delete them off my save list. There's no reason to hold them on there. Hold on. Coffee, please. Before I get to the first story, I'm testing out some software here. So I found an application online. It's a webcast application, and you can load sound bites into a grid, and you could separate them by sound, by music, so on and so forth. And I was testing it out before I started recording, the show. And one of the sounds didn't work. I was trying to find a sound bite for like a You Got Mail, and I went out there searching, and I couldn't find anything that I really liked. So everything was just kind of muted, kind of muffled, monotone, not stereo. So I said, you know what? Do I really need the sound bite? Probably not. So fuck it. I'm just probably not going to do it. Now for music tracks, I may go ahead and do so. To give you an example, I can touch this button right here and oops, sorry. I think my glasses hit the microphone, but it will fade out and then I can get it to come right in. So, yeah, and that's just my little whiz-bang toy for today. Anyway, I'm sure you really needed to hear all about that, but I'm interested in sharing overall what I'm doing with the show, the improvements I'm trying to make. The soundbite was an idea to bring segments to the show, but I failed miserably so far. I'm just still in search of those soundbites that seem to connect, and I couldn't find one, and I tried it today. And to be open and honest, it was a audio clip from George Carlin, basically say you got a letter in your mailbox, and no matter what I did with it, it just sounded muffled. It wasn't coming in strong enough, and then I didn't want to come in too loud because I said, hey, you know, my intro or my segue was going to be something like, and now we have this, and it was going to be George Carlin with his loud, scraggly voice saying, you got letter in your mailbox. And if I had it too high, depending on what device you're listening to this show on, whether it's in your car or in your headphones, I didn't want to blow out your eardrums or scare the shit out of you on the freeway. So, yeah, it just didn't work out. So for right now, I'm just going to go with the flow and, say, hey, now let's go to listener emails type shit, you know. So that's what I'm going to do. Anyway. It is chilly. I didn't believe, you know, here we are in May, almost June, and it is freaking like 50 degrees outside. Freaking burr. I'm down here in like flannel bottoms, a long sleeve shirt, and it does get cold here in the studio. I have a little heater. The only problem is the power. And what I don't like is anything that I have operating in the studio has a tendency to cause a pop in the recording, especially if like the refrigerator kicks on, there's a pop, and I don't want the pop in the podcast. I'm sounding like Conan O'Brien podcast. Anyway, sorry. Off topic. So yeah, I'm fine now, and it's a little bit warmer now that I've got some other things going on here. But anyway, yeah, useless information for a morning of, you know, May 13th, 2019 on episode 13, whatever. Okay. So one more coffee. Sorry. Okay. So the first story that I have is pretty foul, and it's from the UK. This has me extremely perplexed, because as a young adolescent, growing into puberty, I became rather fond of my penis. Like all men do. I mean, hear me out here, okay? Like all young men do. And I don't care what anybody says. Yes, when we were younger, when we were teenagers, preteen, we never admitted to it. I got it. But we did, and I know we did, because I did. We gripped and grinned on numerous occasions, aka, remember, rote learning, R-O-T-E. So I found this funny, because as kids, you know, flogging the dolphin was equivalent to refraining from speaking Lord Voldemort's name, the one who shall not be named. You didn't talk about masturbation. You didn't admit that you masturbated. But as we became adults, our sexual exploits in deference to masturbation became commonplace to the point that if we were caught when we were kids, we would pretty much stop what we were doing out of shame and embarrassment. But as adults, we say, fuck it, and just finish. I mean, you're already almost there, so why not just fucking go for it, right? You know, but it brings me to a story of this young man who claims he hasn't cleaned his penis in 24 years. Now, this is a show from the BBC. Hold on, let me stop. How do you grow up not knowing to wash your fucking pecker? I don't get that. How? I mean, it blows my mind that you can't – how do you wake up in the morning, take a shower, and not scrub your Johnson? You know, I don't understand that. If you're not scrubbing your Johnson, if you're not washing the ball sack, if you're, you know, you're not stroking it a few times to make sure all the dead skin cells are off. And of course, if you have a foreskin, what makes you think that it's all happy, funky rainbows and funky, happy, funky? That's a word. Rainbows and unicorns inside that mass of folded skin covering the turtle. I don't get that. But anyway, so it's on the BBC network, and of course, you know, our friends in the UK and people in European countries, I think they nail it on the head when they do television shows. They're not worried about political correctness. They're not worried about offending anybody. They just do what they do. And to be clear, I watched the video, and it doesn't show anything, and not that I was looking to see anything or wanted to see anything. You know, it's pretty much these guys come into a clinic, they get seen, they ask questions, and these doctors provide advice. But to put it all together, it's entitled The Sex Clinic. Nice title, right? But it offers people sex advice. They conduct STI tests and treatments. And lo and behold, this patient walks in complaining of a nasty smell coming from his schlong, as well as having pain and irritation at the tip. Furthermore, he was having problems retracting his foreskin. I'm probably gonna lose my shit until I get through this, but this young man, he goes on further to say that he's had STIs in the past, and the doctor decides, okay, well, let me ask you some questions. She goes through the whole thing and decides to go to work on his penis. Now, I don't mean go to work on his penis as doing anything sexual. She just has him drop trowel and, you know, pull it out. And as it turns out, he had a condition called schmegma, aka dick cheese, which is a buildup of dead skin cells, oil, and other fluids on the tip of the penis. Now, the doctor then advises him that he needs to focus on cleaning the foreskin, giving it a good scrub and a tug with a soap substitute to ensure that it's clean. And it was then at this point he told the doctor, I've never cleaned my foreskin before. What the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? And what kind of women have you been having sex with? And why didn't they pick up on not only the smell of your penis, but the pustule that resides in your foreskin? I don't get that. If you could smell it, what makes you think they can't? Or maybe are they not the type that will go down on you and perform oral sex, give you a blowjob? By God, you are a stronger woman than I'd anticipated if you did, especially 24 years of funk, you know, trapped in the tip of your penis. I don't get that, but seriously, I mean, come on. I've seen porn flicks with guys and their dickies pushed back, revealing the turtle while they're getting a blowjob. How is it that they weren't able to do the same to you? It's just fucking sick. Like, holy crap. I could only imagine if one night he's getting jerked off so hard that she pulls the turtleneck down and this curdled wad of nastiness flies across the room. But still, if he was able to smell it, wouldn't you think she could too? I mean, okay. Before I cause your gag reflex to go haywire and have people wonder what the hell is wrong with you, let's just leave this junk alone and talk about something else. Because I think I'm going to spend a majority of my time laughing about this whole thing than really I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I don't get it. I'm trying to think back. Did my mom teach me proper hygiene? You know, you're bathed as a kid and you're bathed up until a certain time and then you're monitored in the bathtub and, hey, make sure you wash behind your ears. I don't ever recall my mom telling me to wash my nutsack. I really, really don't. And of course, I don't have a foreskin, so that part I don't necessarily have to worry about. I don't know what it's like to have a foreskin. And I don't think I'd ever want to know what it's like. And after seeing this video and hearing what's going on, I don't get it. God, that's disgusting. The penis. It's a wonderful thing. Anyway, so moving on. Most of you, if not all of you, have heard of the news agency The Onion, a delicious source of satirical news to brighten your day. Well, I came across an article where The Onion reports that Fox News will debut a premium channel for 24-hour coverage of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. For just a mere $8.99 a month, you'll have all access to AOC, featuring wall-to-wall coverage of every word she says. Now, I'm not going to read the article. However, I will post in the show notes on the No Syntax website. But can you imagine? I'm not going to expound upon her this week. Amazingly, I'm not really going to. Well, maybe I will. Who knows? But can you imagine watching a 24-hour show of nothing but AOC? I didn't think there was a lot out there on tape that you could televise for 24 hours. I mean, eventually it would probably gain some steam. There would be more sound bites, more audio, more video, so on and so forth. And they probably have to segment it by the hour. They might be do the local on the eights, like the Weather Channel. I don't know. I don't think that I would pay money to watch her 24 hours. I could barely stand her watching her for a few minutes, never mind 24 hours. That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. I don't think I could do it. I really, really don't. And the other piece is, and I know I said I wasn't going to elaborate on her much, but, you know, it's funny because you have President Trump and then you have Ocasio-Cortez. They complement each other so well because they both say stupid shit where the president isn't doing anything one day. The focus is on AOC. Where she's not doing anything, the focus is on Trump and his Twitter feed and what he says stupid and what he doesn't say stupid but doesn't make sense. And then it goes back and forth. It was like somebody said, hey, I got an idea. Let's elect Alexandria AOC. I'm trying to be smooth here and I'm failing miserably. Let's elect AOC. Let's get her in, you know, as a freshman. Let's get her in there as a balance, right? Because we got to have a yin with that. You can't have a yin without the yang. And the thing is, it's not the balance of positive and negative energy. Although it seems like she's trying to express things in a positive way, but she has no idea what she's talking about. And then, of course, the president, all you hear from him is bullshit. So I guess that's the negative connotation. That's the negative compliment to the yin and the yang, right? So somebody had this idea. Somebody had this idea. I swear up and down that somebody thought of this and said, hey, bring her in because we need balance. We need comedy on both ends, but we need something a little bit more on the lighter side to balance this out. I guarantee you that's what it's about. It's got to be. It just has to be. Anyway, enough about AOC. Enough about AOC. And this segues nicely into my next topic. Now, moving forward, speaking of acronyms, and I seem to be going fast here, and I'm not really wanting to today. I mean, it's raining outside. It's a little cold. I'm enjoying some coffee and having a blast doing this today. I really, really am. So let's just all join in the fun together. And let's join in the fun talking about acronyms and another acronym that I know some of you out there deal with and you probably know and love. And you also probably know more about these than I do because my side of the fence, I've always had the negative brunt of this. So let me fast forward to the present, okay, and talk about another thing that really drives me nuts. And I may have talked about it before, but I want to talk about it again because it just most recently something happened. I'm talking about homeowners associations. Yes, HOAs or HOAs. HOAs? I don't know. Anyway, now I've moved a number of times over the course of my career and lived in different neighborhoods, most of them regulated by HOAs. And let me start off this way. Okay. Let me just say this. I get it. I understand the reason of having an HOA. You need to have them to keep the creepiness out, to keep all the riffraff away from the neighborhood. And I get it. I mean, you don't want your neighbor painting their home pink with purple trim, or you don't want to see broken down vehicles spilling oil in the driveways, et cetera, yada, 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 whatever. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because the owner of the house I live in notified me that she received a letter from the HOA about my trailer being in the driveway. Now, I understand it's a trailer. It's not something that is appealing to the line of sight in your neighborhood. I get it. It's not a trashy trailer. It's not a work trailer. It's a trailer utilized for motorcycles or for hauling when I move. And it's relatively clean. It looks new and it's parked right in the very back end of the driveway. Certainly, yes, it's visible when people walk up and down the street. I get it, all that other crap, but it drove me nuts. And to be clear, this was the second letter. She dismissed the first one because I just moved in and she felt that it was still being used for the move. So got it. But recently she brought this to my attention and lo and behold, in the course of our conversation while we were talking, she had told me she had asked a neighborhood friend to come to the house and take a picture of the trailer because she was curious. Now, to be honest, when she told me about the neighbor taking the photo of my trailer, I felt a bit creeped out. I mean, maybe somewhat violated, and maybe violated is a strong word. But I had to reflect on this for a second because I get a letter. I'm kind of curious. I moved out of that neighborhood, but I still know people who live in the neighborhood. You know, give them a phone call. Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you go look at this house? Can you go look at the house? Go look at the trailer. You know, take a picture. Show me what this is all about. Because she said it wasn't like it was an eyesore or anything. She really, honestly, she didn't have a problem with it. But HOAs are HOAs and bylaws are bylaws and we were not allowed to have the trailer there. So I sat there. I said, okay, got it. And I had to put myself in her position. I mean, think about, you know, I'm protecting my investment, right? I mean, realistically, she doesn't know me and her level of trust may not be high. You know, she has a level of trust with me that she's trusting me to take care of her home, right? And I tried to do everything to build that trust. But, you know, something like that has to be earned, and I get that. Long story short, found a home, got a storage unit for it, and got it out of the driveway. And not that I haven't been paying attention after this incident happened. I pay attention. I paid attention prior to, and kind of in the back of my mind, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong, but I kind of knew I was doing something wrong, but I was ignoring it. That being having the trailer in the driveway, I just didn't see a problem with it. I really didn't, because the things I was paying attention to around the neighborhood that I felt, Okay. This is what I felt, you know, let me back up because I'm getting ahead of myself. I pay attention to things in the neighborhood all the time. I'm just an observant individual, and I take it, put in the back of my mind, and I don't get bent out of shape about it. I might voice my opinion on it, but really, realistically, what can you do? I'm a tenant living in a house that's owned by somebody else. Could I be a member of the HOA? Probably. Do I want to? No. Then I guess I get what I ask for if I don't, but I just don't have the time. I don't want to take the time to do it. At least not being a tenant. I know I probably have rights, probably very limited rights in nature. I don't know. Still waiting on a copy of the bylaws just to kind of have myself armed and get an understanding of the do's and the don'ts. But, you know, I really began to pay attention to the other things going on in the neighborhood. And these are things that, you know, the HOA needs to pay attention to. I mean, vice my trailer, sitting in the driveway, all nice and clean, over the people who have multiple cars in the street to the point you can't get through safely. I mean, I feel the streets are wide, not that wide, but wide enough where you could have cars parked on each side, yet you've got this narrow approach in between these lines of vehicles. Don't understand why they're in the driveway, not in the driveway, because the driveways are big enough. They hold 4 to 5, 6 cars, some of them, because some of them have a long driveway, yet they choose to park out in the street. I don't fucking get that. I really, really don't. Blows my mind. And yes, okay, so I'm sounding old and complaining, but you know, if you're coming down the road and somebody's coming up the road, you're trying to yield to let that person go through, but it's a bit of a pain in the ass. I shouldn't have to do that. Park in your fucking driveway. And here I sound like an HOA member, right? So totally contradicting myself. But again, you know, these are things I'm pointing out. People letting their fucking weeds grow a foot high in most cases and doing nothing to keep their lawns nice. You know, fences that are so old, the vertical slats, you know, how, you know, so you got the horizontal beams and they basically screw or nail in or shoot in a nail gun to put the vertical slats up, for privacy. Sorry, man. It's cold in here. My nose is running. I apologize. I mean, they're bent more than my penis, you know, and that's just to name a few. And there's also a lot of double standards going on, more on the level of do as I say, not as I do. And the people who are doing it, of course, are the fucking HOA board members. I mean, look, I understand that people want their fucking utopian society. Yes, I like a nice view when I walk out of my back deck and have a cup of coffee in the morning. But even my view in line of sight of the back of my neighbor's house, who uses the underside to store his Christmas decorations, I don't want to see that shit. And this is also the same guy whom I believe has a bouncy house business because he usually has one on his little ass deck. Not dick, deck. But he does. He's got this deck that comes off the house and it covers the lower area, the walkout area. And it's a nice looking deck, but it's got this awning, this gazebo type awning over it. So it looks relatively small, even from a distance. It just doesn't look that big. And you know the scale of bouncy houses, right? I mean, they're huge. And for some odd reason, I saw this the other day. For some odd reason, instead of putting it in his backyard on the ground and inflating it and checking it out, they feed it. I guess it's his son, one of his kids, whoever. He's feeding it to somebody up, standing up on the deck, and he's pulling it while the dad or whoever is feeding it up there. And they pull it up and they set it up on the deck and they inflate it. And I'm sitting here going, what the hell is that all about? Do you realize how stupid that looks? I don't get it. you know, and if you're doing it to see if it's still serviceable, I mean, all that fucking back lawn space, you could just air it up and have one of your kids pull it, but you have it, your kid pulling it over the rail. Just, it's not very smart. How long would it take? Lay it out. I'm really getting frustrated. I apologize, and I'm not making any sense. And I'm not even paying attention to my show notes, which is the cause for that. But how long would it take to lay it out, put it in your backyard, air it up, check it out, and then take it down? Right? What an ass clown. Damn it. I did not mean to sound like Dr. Seuss. I apologize. Anyway, let's talk about something a little bit more fun, shall we? So I ran across some old commercials on YouTube a few weeks ago, and I've seen these before, but I completely forgot about them. And I lost the link, but I'm sure if you do a web search on it, you'll find it. Do a web search for Kermit the Frog and Wilkins Coffee, and you'll see the commercials I'm talking about. I was going to play the audio, but like I said, I lost the track. I apologize. But anyway, I thought those were kind of cool because it was coffee related. And anyway, this was way before my time, but I really enjoyed some of these commercial shorts. And this was posted by a site called Nostalgia, Nostalgia. And the clip is entitled, "Before Kermit the Frog Was a Muppet, He Was a Coffee-Obsessed Murderer." And basically, it's Kermit the Frog, and I know the other character in there is not the same name, but Sully, who was a more present character in Sesame Street and the Muppet Show, it was basically Kermit the Frog and Sully promoting Wilkins Coffee. And I was going to put the link in the show notes. If I find it, I'll put it in there. If not, you could just Google it, do a search on YouTube, and you could view these for yourself. But as a disclaimer, some of these commercial shorts are a little violent for a coffee commercial, but still kind of funny. But if you look at the write-up done on Encyclopedia Dramatica, I mean, it's pretty much comical. And so this is what Encyclopedia Dramatica has to say about Wilkins Coffee. So, Wilkins Coffee was the most popular brand of coffee from the beginning of time up until about the 1980s, and for a damn good reason. If you were caught drinking any other brand of coffee, Jim Henson's Proto Kermit would shoot you in the fucking face. He literally killed the competition by offing any non-drinker of Wilkins in a myriad of sinister ways, and even televised them in the form of black and white coffee commercials as a way to advertise his unveiled threats. Each commercial came equipped with a corny yet deadly pun. Wilkins eventually went out of business due to the countless lawsuits it had received from families of the victims who lost their lives to the bloodthirsty coffee-crazed Kermit. Kermit was ultimately acquitted of all murder charges and went on to become the star of both Sesame Street and The Muppet Show, and the family members of the deceased had to live without Wilkins Coffee. You may wind up with a split... Okay, let me back up. I screwed that up. And the family members of the deceased had to live without Wilkins Coffee, you may wind up with a splitting headache. Kermit the Frog, seeing the murderer taunt them on national television for the rest of their lives, for the rest of their mortal lives. Man, I hate some, you know, so I, that's my fault. I really screwed that up. You may wind up with a splitting headache. Kermit the Frog, seeing the murderer taunt them on national television for the rest of their mortal lives. Maybe it was just the way it was worded, and then that's what screwed me up. But anyway, it was a nice, cute little write-up, and it just reminded me. I'm like, yeah, I said that would be kind of cool to kind of put some of those audio files in the show, but I'm not sure what the deal is. Now, the only information I wasn't able to find about Wilkins Coffee, or the only information I was able to find, I didn't find much, to be honest, was that it later came to be known as Maxwell House Coffee. Big change there. But there isn't any additional information on that transition. So I tried to find it. I know there was a Wilkins involved. They were talking about his estate and everything, but nothing about the transformation from Wilkins Coffee to Maxwell House. And of course, Maxwell House isn't going to continue to use Kermit the Frog. Television commercials. They aren't what they used to be. Hey, anyway, and now it's time for emails. Yeah. This is where George Carlin was supposed to come in, but yeah, that didn't work out. Coffee once more. Okay, here we go. So yes, time for emails. Now, I normally read emails at the beginning, but that's okay. Anytime is a good time to read them, especially when they come from our favorite librarian. And so, in deference to our last episode, Leslie writes, "Great episode. The stupid was strong with AOC, and the girl commenting on the Constitution, wow. Just wow. Neither has heard the better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." Leslie, thank you. And yes, I was and still am beside myself when I heard that, young lady ask her question, in respect to the Constitution. You know what? And I don't want to ever assume that she's an idiot, but her lack of knowledge on the subject really makes me wonder. I mean, in the immortal words of Henry Rollins from the movie Johnny Mnemonic, I can't help to wonder if she's suffering from information overload. I want to say it's a thing, because I see this on a daily basis, during the course of conversations with people who saturate their lives by living on the internet. And what I see is people who lose their train of thought in the middle of a conversation because they're so full of information, they want to share it. So much so that one story seems to bleed into the next and they get confused. So I would like to think that this girl had good intentions in what she was trying to say, but instead of apples, she was speaking oranges or mango pineapple or a whole lot of bullshit. Who knows? But that's what I kind of think. And I see this in AOC, right? Here I go again. I see this in AOC and probably if I really paid attention to President Trump, I probably see it in him too. But she gets going, she gets steam, and she's talking about this thing, and then all of a sudden she has this ooh squirrel moment and it changes to something else. And you just kind of wonder, well, wait a minute, well let's reel back in. I'm guilty of myself of it at times, and I wind up going off on a tangent. Now I do it on the show on purpose, but I find myself in a normal one-on-one conversation doing this. And it's not that my brain is oversaturated with what I read on the internet. My brain is oversaturated with the multiple emails of information I have. And I have a tendency, because of the information that I'm presented, to get this stuff crossed. Not making excuses for the young lady. She should have stopped. She should have thought. She should have plugged her tongue into her brain before she spoke. And that probably would have made things a lot better for her. But then again, if she didn't do that, that wouldn't have validated anything for me, and I would have never had a segment for my show to talk about her. Right? Okay. Anyway, she goes on to talk about her Mexico meme from the last episode. She goes on to say, "The three Mexicos. I'll go to beach Mexico so I can see, hear, and smell the sea. But I want my food brought in from meat Mexico. Bacon and steak are my two favorite foods. I'll also need a big beach umbrella and a hot cabana boy to bring me ice cold drinks. Cocaine Mexico doesn't interest me, but if there were a marijuana Mexico, ... So, okay. Got it, Leslie. So you need a stone hot cabana boy with meat to bring you cold drinks. Got it. We love you, Leslie. Thank you for your email. They always brighten up our day. Now, I'm sad to say that we don't have a coffee review today. And this is because we're waiting on a delivery of mushroom coffee mix from Four Sigmatic. I'll put the link in the show notes overall. We just kind of want to see what the fuss is all about. Simply because, shit. Oh. Okay, I don't know what happened there. Music cut out. Anyway, we wanted to see what the fuss is all about and the uniqueness of this blend. It's a lot of information we're reading through, but we're really excited about it. Consequently, it's supposed to come in today. It probably won't get here till late at night. So one of the two things we're thinking, either wait till the next show and go ahead and talk about it on episode 14, or we might do a Facebook Live, thing where we just might talk about it a little bit. Not quite sure. They come with a packet version and then they have a big bag ground, got both, and they should be arriving sometime today. It was one of those things where, you know, we've been drinking some of the same coffee, that we've gone over before, and talked about. So what we didn't want to do was keep talking about the same things. So the other piece that got us thinking about this as well was the other part of we talk about a coffee, but there's more than one type of coffee that a company produces. Iron Bean Coffee Company has different roasts, different blends. Death Wish Coffee Company has a couple of different roasts, different blends, so on and so forth. Some of them are singular. I mean, Megaton Coffee is pretty much bottom line Megaton Coffee. Death Wish has Valhalla Java and their normal Death Wish. Occasionally, they have a seasonal blend that they will sell in very small batches. Whiskey infused blend. They do the pumpkin spice blend, so on and so forth. The rum ball for the holidays. Awesome. So there's different ones there. You just have to kind of keep paying attention for it. Evidently, Wake the Hell Up Coffee, if you went to their website, they've got some different blends as well. So all these have different blends. So what we're looking at is, as we progress into this, we like to try and do different coffees and then maybe go back and do a rehash and say, okay, like we'll use Iron Bean because they have a multitude of blends. You know, they might have one brand that we review and we talk about. We might come back and talk about the next brand. And what we think and how it's blended. We're also thinking about talking about, here I am just going off on a tangent again. There's just a lot of things that we're looking at, and, just because we love coffee and this is what drives us to do this podcast, even though most of the stuff that we talk about doesn't make sense. It's not very coherent in our opinion. But we just like to do this because this is what we like to do. But, can't wait to get it. It's mushroom coffee mix from Four Sigmatic. That's Foursigmatic. You look them up online. They've got a wealth of information about their product. We actually bought ours, not directly from the website. We bought ours from Amazon. So it should be coming in today, hopefully. I think we've got a out for delivery message already, so work should be good to go. However, before we do go, one thing that we haven't done in a while, we do want to give some shout outs to those who left us reviews on iTunes. And we may have done this before. We haven't gotten a lot of reviews. We got five, but five is great. We're happy with that. We're not out there trying to grade grub and get multiple reviews all at one time. So the reviews that we do get are very meaningful to us. They could come as slow as they want. It doesn't matter. It's not like we're trying to chase reviews. But we want to say a special thanks to Archer1201, I Toddles. I think it's I or it might be L Toddles. Leslie, I think that's you, right? Just Kimian, Kim. By the way, Kim Price, Ladies of Leet, if you're into video gaming and you are a woman or a guy, doesn't matter. I enjoy listening to them. Ladies of Leet podcast on iTunes. I would highly recommend those. And then BMB2273. Thank you for taking the time out to write us such awesome reviews. We really, really appreciate it. Hand on heart. Thank you so much. Again, sorry for the lack of the Media Beans content today. We really tried, but we thought it was in the best interest to try and bring you something new each time. So we have to mind our pints and quarts when we look at pints and quarts. We're talking beer now, right? we will get on this and get a little bit better with these as we go. So again, we apologize. Okay. So either it's going to be on episode 14, or we will do a Facebook Live, or maybe a separate small audio snippet of our review. Personally, we like it fun to be on. We think it's more fun. We like it fun. Coffee. 1 second. Okay. Mental note, the music cut out on the app, and it was supposed to be set to loop. So not sure what went on with that. But anyway. Okay, cool. I think it's a good time to end this here. What do you think? Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. Have a great week. We love you to death. Again, thank you for the reviews. Thank you for taking the time to listen. And we hope you enjoyed the show. It seemed like it went by really quick. Don't know why. Just seemed like it went by really fast. Anyway, No Syntax is a production. I really screwed that up. It's one of those mornings, probably because it's cold down here. Nah, that's bullshit. I'm lying. So No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music is by Rim Sky Music and can be found at premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat.com. www.premiumbeat.com. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music can be found at melodyloops.com. That's www.melodyloops.com. Want to send an email? Have comments about today's or other shows? We want to hear from you. Email us at nosyntaxpodcast. That's all one word. nosyntaxpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can post your comments on our website at www.nosyntaxpodcast. That's all one word. nosyntaxpodcast.net. You could also follow me on Twitter, although I haven't been really been posting much other than show stuff. I will try to get better with that. I really need to. But you can follow me on Twitter at No Syntax Podcast or Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. Don't forget, we are also on iTunes. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review. Good, bad, indifferent, it doesn't matter. We will still love you. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Back to back.